This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. This was a redemption episode for Omar. You know, the very first time that we had Bliss in here, it was actually our first interview, although it wasn't the first episode released. So there was a lot of nerves. There was a lot of mistakes, just trying to figure out the dynamic of the podcast. So Omar came to me and was like, we need to do another Bliss episode. I need to be redeemed. So we did it. We brought Bliss back in, learned a little bit more about her and her online business, had a little bit more laughs. Again, listening to these two go back and forth sometimes is always funny and always a fun conversation. So this is Omar's redemption episode, but welcome back to No Fixed Agenda. Bliss, love all.
This is No Fixed Agenda, brought to you by Bubs Natural. Their mission statement is simple: live better, live longer. Bubs helps fuel people to reach their maximum human potential through supplements sourced from nature's highest quality ingredients, while giving 10% of all proceeds back to charity. Learn more about their NSF Sports Certified Collagen Peptides and Electrolyte Drink Mix at BubsNaturals.com. You're gonna give them a welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. No Fixed Agenda.
That was a very— why can't you talk like that? That's a very good voice.
I know, right? Wow, that's a great voice. Wow. See, that's kind of the voice of radio right there.
That's a very radio voice.
Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Well,
see, you know what it happens.
We don't want you to be everybody.
I can't control it.
People that come in here.
You guys are trying to put me in a box.
Yeah.
And I you can't put baby in a box, bro.
You're better in the box.
you gotta
take me out and play and take me out for a spin, dude. You get Jesus.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Anywho, we brought Bliss back in because you were so embarrassed by the very first interview that we did.
Absolutely.
And I will say, your interview was the very first one we did do.
Right.
First interview, and he's always felt really bad that he was really shitty. Mm-hmm. In the first one.
For lack of better words.
No, it was a true statement.
It's a true statement.
And to the point where people ask me about the podcast now, and I'm like, listen to every episode except for the first 10. Oh my God. But the 10th one, I got it down. I'm good.
Yeah.
I learned how to shut the hell up when I need to do.
Well, got it down is—
Wow.
It's a very rough
by
statement.
Popular demand, they want my voice, by man. It's, you know, the what it is, man. Sorry. Yeah.
Funny enough, the last time we brought you in, you had just gotten back from Maui.
Wow. As well.
Here we are. Back from Maui.
So I almost feel like that's a theme now.
That's really funny.
Is every time you go to Hawaii?
Well, he's going
to
give me so much crap because he jokes that I'm like constantly, you know, off in Hawaii on another vacation.
It's the truth.
It's not the truth. It's
working just on your Puerto Rican tan.
It just so happens.
She's always in Hawaii, dude. Always. Like, you want to work out? I'm in Hawaii for 2 weeks.
It's not a bad
three
thing.
Weeks. Jeff gets me.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm in
Hawaii for 4 weeks. Oh, it sucks.
4 weeks. That's nice.
Have you even been to Hawaii?
I have.
Did I ask you that before?
I have been
to
Hawaii.
You have?
I have.
You were like, what, 19?
No, I was a grown adult. I had to be there for a month and a half in Oahu.
Oh, that's right.
For work?
Back in your past life.
Logistics life, yeah.
Yeah.
I had to set up a warehouse on Ford Island.
That's right. We talked about that because it was the whole entire World War II building.
It was freaking awesome, dude. I liked the first week of it. And then after that, I was like, get me the fuck off this island. I was too slow.
Yeah. Too slow, bro.
I don't give me the slow. I don't really give. I don't really give a shit, man.
Well, you know what? In my defense, though, dude, there was no like.
Weren't you doing like cocaine back then, though?
No, I was not. I was sober back then.
Well, but I was gonna say that's probably the problem here.
No, yeah. I was sober back then. However,
no, you can't go.
There was
to
no like
when you're doing like, coke.
There was no like. Video music on demand. So I was stuck listening to the radio on whatever it was.
Oh my God.
And
gosh.
It was like every fucking time. I was so done with that freaking beat, dude.
Yeah, could you, what was that again?
No, I'm not going to do it again.
Hey, you should have that on a loop and make it the intro.
Yeah.
I think so.
It was, dude, that's all it was, bro. I was like, good Lord, this please.
And I want to apologize to all the Hawaiians.
Yeah, 100%. You guys have a beautiful island. No joke. It's beautiful. However, this Mexican boy was not in his element. Oh, good for a week. Good for 2 weeks. I couldn't even find carne asada, dude.
Like, well, it's all pork down there.
Dude,
yeah. You got to have
pork and chicken.
We got a rump roast and we cut it into carne asada. And true story.
I wanted to ask you. Something that, and you can tell me to fuck off if you want, but because please. I'm going to ask you this because you were talking about it on social media.
Yeah.
And it was right before you went to Hawaii. And I want to ask you about the period pill.
Oh yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Are we going to talk about period?
No, but please. I think this is
all about it.
This was a very interesting thing because
a little controversial.
It was a little controversial and I'm quite interested to hear how that all
I guess because I know all about it already. I don't, you know.
Yeah, you can shut up. But I had never heard of that at all before.
I hadn't either.
And so I'm kind of curious on where you found that out.
Yes.
And how it worked out with everything.
Yes. So my friend, she does hair and makeup for weddings.
Okay.
She's the one who multiple brides had told her they're on it during their wedding because they were supposed to be on their period, right? So that's how she found out about it.
Okay.
And so when I was complaining about the fact that I was going to be on my period during the retreat, she's like, there's these pills you can take. And I made the reel because I had never heard of these.
Okay.
And she's like, yeah, you take these pills 3 days before you start. As long as you take them, your period doesn't come for up to 21 days. And so I made the reel saying, who has tried these? Is this a thing? Because I feel like I would have heard about these. And I had not only, I mean, there's like hundreds of comments on that reel, DMs galore. And it's either you're on one side. There's not a lot of
just
people.
Like anything
there's
else.
Probably no great.
Just like anything
there's
else not, in the public eye. Yes. You're on one side or the other.
Yeah. I had definitely more people who were saying, I've used it. I loved it. It's amazing. You should use it. And then I had other people who were like, you're going to destroy your body. You never mess with your hormones. I had one chick, one DM really did freak me out. She said she took it and for 6 months, her period was irregular. And I was like, oh, that's quite a risk. But
So I guess back it up. It's a pill.
It's progesterone, basically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically like keeping your, it's confusing your body to make you think that you're ovulating, basically. So you just keep, you have to take three a day. So you're just constantly getting another little dose of progesterone.
Huh.
And it's great.
Then we don't have to deal with.
No.
You have zero symptoms of PMS, which is the worst part. It's not even like the actual period. It's those symptoms, which Omar knows.
This
not
is why
delightful.
I wanted, this is why I didn't want to talk about it because Bliss's period has a name, dude.
I think most women name. Probably have
it
a
has
name.
A name. And no offense to anybody who's has this name, but it was like a thing. But we have Bliss's period is like a alter ego type thing. It's just like
everybody
does,
but yeah.
Yeah, no.
Her name is Tiffany.
Yes,
Tiffany.
Her name is Respect Tiffany.
Her.
Yeah. I jokingly say she's not allowed to come around me when it's day one.
And Tiffany's.
Yeah. Tiffany's here. Tiffany's here. I invited her to work out. She texts me back. Tiffany's here. I'm good.
No, thank you.
But
no, thank you.
It was amazing. I had the best experience with it. As soon as I stopped taking them, 48 hours later, I started my period. My period was no different. So I hate that I am, that they were so good, but honestly, they were. So I always tell women who've asked me about it, I'm like, for very certain situations, I think it's worth it. Mm. I don't think that it's something that you should take because you're just like, I don't know, whatever, but for if you're going on vacation, your wedding, whatever.
Yeah.
If it's worth it enough. Lesser of two evils.
But it's like, know? It's like, it's a, not a one size fits all thing, I would assume.
And it's like Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Because it's just like anything. Everybody's going to react differently to it. That's why some people used it, didn't have a good experience.
Mm.
I happened to be lucky enough.
And it worked for you. You were.
It worked. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
So would this be something that you wouldn't take on a regular basis?
Not a regular vacation. Yeah. If I have to just be on a vacation, I'm fine. Yeah. Like, I'll just be fat and bloated and uncomfortable on the beach. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine.
There are many things, but fat is not one.
Well, bloated. My apologies. You feel you're in delusion that you're obese.
Yes.
But, yeah. But to lead a retreat, a fitness retreat, I was like,
oh, dude, that would have been a shit show.
Oh,
dude.
It would have been horrible. Yeah,
it would have been a total shit show.
Yeah, it was a female.
Dude,
you're still okay.
I would be just super hormonal. I'd cry. I'd be really irritable and like tempered. Working out. And two, I know this is so superficial, but like I didn't want to look like crap. I was taking a lot of content that week and I'm like, what a shame that I'm going to be so bloated the whole time.
People
are
going to
be like, this is the fitness chick that people are following? With that belly?
Yes.
So. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why I get it, I guess.
For the brand.
Yeah. It's for the brand.
That's what I wanted to talk to her about.
All right. Next subject. Jeff,
that's going to be what the people want to hear.
I've never heard this. Has never taken it. So I don't.
Yeah.
And she even was kind of like, what's she doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Cause she knows what it is, never taken it, but her and I never really discussed it.
Right.
And so when you started, you posted that reel, like you said, you had a lot of people that were either for it or backlash. And I think you even made a couple stories, I think, to like explain some of that stuff. And I promise I won't stay on this subject. I'm just kind of curious.
We're 20 minutes in already, bro.
Whatever. Anyway.
And I know Tiffany very well, but I
thought it was just quite interesting, the whole entire aspect of taking something like this to offset the period or that time of month. Like it was interesting to me that there was even a product out there that was
pretty much a product for anything that's
there. One of the reasons that was kind of comforting, quote unquote, to me that this isn't some crazy foreign substance is that it's basically like birth control.
Oh.
So if I were to order birth control and take the pills that you're not supposed to take on your period, it's a very similar thing. Yeah. Like that's how girls will get themselves to shift their periods when they need to, like a week or whatever. They just keep taking the other ones, not the period pills.
So was this like, an over-the-counter thing?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Interesting.
Where'd you buy that?
Online. I had it delivered to me.
Fucking Amazon.
And basically.
Fucking sell anything, dude. Basically. It will sell anything, dude.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, anything. So enough about
Are we
here to talk about Bliss Mode, bro?
I'm past Tiffany now. Let's go. I'm done. I just wanted to get that out there.
But it gives
me a
segue.
Can we put that Bliss and Tiffany came on the podcast?
Yeah.
Dude, we got two guests.
It's a twofer.
It's a twofer. Tiffany's not here right now, though, bro.
Just
she's really not.
But it's pretty cool that she's like doing all this stuff. And all of a sudden she's like, well, you know, you talk about periods. Every woman out there that I know is like, I'm your sidekick.
Yeah. You are definitely her sidekick.
100%.
Just like you're my sidekick.
Well, wow.
You're the perpetual Robin to our Batman.
God. Dear Lord. If I would have known we were going to have this many big heads in the room, dude.
Well, that was going to happen.
It's getting warm in here.
Right?
I can't fit my head in here anymore. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I think what we did wrong the first episode was that I felt like I needed to share our relationship.
Mm.
Right?
Well, I think that's good.
I think it's good. But I think people know our relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's like to the point where
if they know one of us.
They know like, oh, Bliss is, that's Omar's sister, or, you know, hey, it's my big bro, whatever. And I think that's cool.
Omar. That's Bliss's sidekick.
Yeah.
She has a picture that says that, by the way.
Anyway.
The Starbucks lady.
Where were we going?
I don't even remember where we were going. Something for the camp.
Yeah.
And we stopped at Starbucks and him and I are just like bantering in line. We get up there and were still like with each other as we always are. And Starbucks lady took my name with the order. She didn't take his name. So when my order came out, it was Bliss. And then when his order came out, it was Bliss's sidekick.
That actually happened.
That actually, yes. There's a fucking picture out there, dude. You're going to have to send him the picture so we can post it. I was he look of disgust.
What the hell is this? She goes, I just feel like you're her sidekick. He was so mad about it.
Oh, I was pissed that I tipped, bro. Amazing.
Okay.
I was that I tipped, bro. I was like, what the fuck? The picture is me holding up the stupid. It was like a
spinach feta
wrap, right? And it's like, I'm just like fucking stone. Just totally annoyed. Like, give me the fuck out of this Starbucks.
So yeah, he's officially sidekick.
Okay.
Anyway,
I'm sidekick material. I'm totally fine with it.
Another side story done.
Yes.
Wow.
Go on with your brand.
I just wanted to talk about how it started. That is what I want to know. I want all things Bliss Mode to be talked about today. There's one thing. Well, no, it's here's why. I think, and I don't tell her this enough. I've said it to her a couple times, but not publicly. I am so in awe with because I understand where you came from.
Yeah.
This brand that you doubted at one point is now like the go-to brand for so many girls out there that need your type of fitness. And I'm in awe because even I doubted it. I was like, online, Bli?
Yeah,
like,
we should talk about that.
Yeah, like, yo, B, online? Really, you want to do this? Oh, I don't even think you should go with Linus, and I don't think you should go with this. And it was like, it was coming from a place of, I didn't want anything bad to happen to her. You know, I didn't want her to have a failure or whatever. And I just needed to shut the hell up and just watch you do your thing because it's fire. So I want you to talk briefly about how it started. I know people already know we met, we were coaching at the boot camp thing. But I want you to talk about where you initially thought the brand was going to be first. And then I want you to go into like, when did you come to that aha moment that this is going to be something bigger than I could ever imagine to be?
Yeah. It started, I went online officially February of 2022. I always joke that Jenny scammed me into signing up for Linus because she said, let's hop on a Zoom call to talk about Modere. And I was like ready to sell her on these products. And then she like, you know, switched it.
Bait and switch.
Yes.
Yes. The old bait and switch.
I like it.
On Linus. And I, you know, thankfully at the time, Linus was brand new to the US. So they weren't charging trainers. Now it's like $1,000 to just even sign up to work with them, which I wouldn't have done. I couldn't have done. I have a screenshot from 2022 where I have like $0 in my bank account. So I was back to being broke again. And so thankfully it was free. So it was a total God thing of timing and everything. It was free and I can't say no. So I'm a people pleaser. So I signed up, honestly, not even having the desire to do it. It was more of like she invoked enough curiosity. And I told them my goal was to make $500 a month. That's what I wanted to do. And they were like, you can make a lot more. And I was like, $500 would be like groundbreaking. Oh. Yeah, I would love to just do that. I was training out of my garage and I was selling products online. And yeah, I was making a few thousand dollars a month that I was just blowing through. So that started by May. I had this client sign up. She was also a trainer. And for whatever reason, because the fact that she was a trainer, she signed up. She got all my programming. I think I already had doubt that like maybe I'm not very good at this online thing. And when she sent me a message saying I'm a joke, she wants a full refund.
I remember.
Yes. Like she sent me the nastiest message. All about, it was like hitting every insecurity and doubt that I had like deep down. She like, it was like she could read them and she wrote them out and it destroyed me. I immediately just stopped online coaching and I just stopped showing up. These poor clients who were paying, they didn't hear from me again because I was so, I felt like I like was vulnerable and exposed like
imposter
vulnerability.
Syndrome.
Yes.
In a sense, yeah.
So bad. Mm-hmm. And then Jenny had a talk with Omar, which I did not know about, of like, how do I motivate her? Because it was July. She had a talk with me and she's like, you either need to like run this business or we have to let you go. Like, you're not doing anything.
That's the worst thing you could do when it comes to having a conversation with Bliss.
Well, Ginny's such, you guys know, she's like, yes, a man. I always joke like she's like the man in our relationship, where she's so black and white, no emotion, and I'm all emotion, not all gray. And so she had a talk with Omar. I don't even know what you guys said.
Oh, well, I can tell. I mean, that's a good segue. But yeah, it was, she asked me, how do I get her to watch her business? And you and I have this unspoken language where we can kind of like pretty much say, know what we are thinking by looking at each other at this point. I said to her, I says, what are you telling her? And she told me exactly what you told me.
Everything I'm not doing.
Yeah. Everything you're not doing. And I said, she's like, I said, you need to pat her on the back. And she says, she will, I go, and you cannot. Yeah. She's a total person for words of affirmations, right? Yeah. You're just like, hey,
it's a better way to word it.
Yeah. It's like, I need,
either way.
Yeah. Fine. I mean, I wouldn't call you a slut, but
for a compliment.
For a compliment. You have to add.
Oh, my bad. But so I told her, you got to tell her what she's doing good at. The other thing I told her was she knows what her strengths are. She doesn't always know what her strengths are, as I told her. So she's very good at the content creation. It's something you lean into just naturally. And I said, you got to give her that. She's not going to be good doing all of the admin stuff. That's like her kryptonite. And she will learn, but you got to give it to her in bites.
Yeah.
It can't be, this is the plate.
Yes.
Fucking dump it all. Run your shit. You're going to be like, run the other way. And I said, so just give her small bite sizes. Let her do what she's good at to create momentum and then watch her flirt. And so we talked for like an hour.
Yeah.
We talked for a long time. And I was just like, it goes, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what she was going to do with that. Every time somebody asked me for advice, you don't know if it's going to be dumped in the trash can or apply. I was so glad that she actually applied.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a talk. I don't even remember what was said, but they had me actually drive up to Lena, sat down with them. I was a few weeks in again doing it. And I sat down with another guy. It was Jenny, another guy, and myself. And
he was like the owner, wasn't he? Or
he wasn't the owner. No, he's actually no longer there, but he was like Jenny's boss, basically.
Got it.
So I have to credit him. He like catapulted my business because he, what was possible.
Mm.
And so before, I mean, I had thought $500, $1,000, like my vision was like here. I couldn't see any further. I couldn't even fathom that. He was so good about, he sat me down. He said, what do you want to do? And I, at this point, I said, I would love to make $1,000 a month.
He's probably laughing at your face.
And he was like, what do you really want to make? Like, what sounds like stupid money to you? And I'm like, stupid money? Like $1,000 a month? And he was like, okay. And so he really had to like, he's like, we have coaches make this and this unfathomable money. And I was like, hey, no way I could ever make that. And at the time, you know, I had never made, I think the highest I'd ever made in 1 month was $4,000. And that happened on a one-off. COVID hit and I was with Modere and all that money was
all the stimulus money.
The stimulus money.
People were blowing their stimulus money on Modere.
If you had something to sell online, dude, that was an amazing time.
Yeah.
And I remember I made like $4,000 and I was like, I'm the richest person ever. I was so ecstatic. So that was the most money I'd ever made. So yeah, I couldn't really understand what is making money look like. So when he said, we have this coach, and this coach, this is how many clients they have. This is how much money they make. This is what their life looks like. I feel like I left that office and it was game over.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah.
And it just blew up.
He literally moved the ceiling. He moved your cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had been jumping so hard to get through it and you were like, oh, then somebody removed your cap, you know, the fleas that were in a jar and then they removed the jar. They still jumped to that height until somebody told them otherwise. So that's pretty cool.
And your analogies.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. But that reminds me of the other conversation that we had after I had the conversation with Jenny, when she was like, she's just not going to do it, Omar. We're going to probably have to let her go and all this other stuff. And I said, no, she'll do it. Just do this approach, because I went to a workout at the garage.
I remember this.
Yes. And you went, I went to a workout in the garage and there was all women in this workout. It was like a group. She had like four or five in her garage.
In my garage.
Okay. Current garage.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm gonna jump in. She's like, cool. We did. And then she huddled all of her girls up and was giving like a speech and doing it. And then I kind of sat back and I just like sat in the folds. I wasn't part of it. And I didn't want to interrupt because it's just, I didn't want to do that in front of her clients. So I just sat back and I watched her be like her truest form. And I was so fucking happy for you, girl. I was so happy. I was like, I'm gonna do it. And I called Jenny back after that. She's going to do it. I promise you she's going to do it. And so that's why I'm in awe, because you were that one defeated bankrupt girl with a fucking little clown car got repossessed to this amazing entrepreneur online, finding your niche, finding what you're really good at, and helping so many women out there change their lives. And so that's the biggest part. I think, I don't know if many people see that part of it. And I saw something online the other day and it was like, they see a fit person as like, oh, they had it that way. And they don't realize that there was so much fucking work that needed to be done for them to achieve that body composition or a certain fitness level. The same applies with entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting there. Nobody sees us fucking crying in the background. Nobody sees us fucking struggling. Nobody sees, like, none of that shit. They look at you like, oh, that's bliss. Oh my God. How many times, even after you made it, there was so many conversations that I had with people that in my gym were like, but bliss this, but bliss that, but bliss this. And I'm like, only if they fucking knew, you know, only if they fucking knew. Now that you're here, what was your like biggest hurdle once the cap was removed?
Yeah.
We all have growing pains as entrepreneurs.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, that's
except for Jeff.
Except for Jeff. Jeff knows
no
it
issues.
All.
I have know it all. I have no issues.
Under control the whole time, bro.
Yeah, under control the entire time. 100%. Even when I'm shitting my pants in the corner, yeah. Something's not happening. I'm still under control the entire time.
That was intentional.
Yeah,
shitting your pants was intentional, right?
Yeah, that was intentional.
What was your biggest learning curve after you realized that the business was taking off?
What I struggled with the most was having to shift from trainer, which is what I knew. I had been doing that for a very long time, to business owner, to boss of other coaches. I think that was the most intimidating part. I had never had an employee. I felt very, you know, that really, you know, triggered that imposter syndrome for sure.
It's a huge learning curve.
Yes.
Once you get into that area where you're like, okay, I've been on my own. Yeah. I know exactly how I need to do this. And then all of a sudden one person comes over and you're like, ooh, what do I tell them to do? What do you need to do? Yeah. Like, what should I tell you to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm here for you to tell me that. You're like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. In the beginning too, I felt like I had to really present that I knew it all. So when that blew up my face, when I had that falling out with one of my coaches exactly a year ago, my head coach, one of my longest girlfriends, I feel like I am very proud of how I handled the aftermath. I came to my team incredibly vulnerable and I just presented, here is where I can see that I'm falling short. I have blind spots. Where have you guys seen that, like, I have room for growth? Because I am so intimidated by leading. I feel like I don't know what I'm doing every day and I'm trying to figure this out, and I appreciate the grace. And I feel like it made us all so much closer and stronger, because for the first time they were like, this is a real person who just figuring it out. And like, I think that really helped. I think that took away a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I
feel like it allows your employees to have a little bit more respect for you.
Yeah.
They probably have respect for you in the first place, but for you to come to them and just be like, hey, listen, these are my faults.
Yeah.
What else can I do better to make sure that this works as easy as possible? I think that's one of the biggest things that I would assume for a lot of entrepreneurs that are just getting into it and expanding out and having employees or coaches or whatever it is. It's kind of like you've never had to lead a team before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what's my leading, like, what's my leadership style?
Yeah.
Like, what do, how do I tell people what, how do I come across, like, what do I need them to do? Right. And that's, I think that's a hard thing. Like, when it comes to the telling those people what to do or giving them tasks or whatever, like, how is your management or leadership style kind of flowed since you had that conversation? Did that pop up a lot of things like, oh, okay, I can do this. I understand that that's the deal. Like, was there other spots where you were like, okay, this helps me out?
Yeah, I feel like it opened the door because I, you know, I'd always said like, hey, like, my door's always open. Like, you can say, but nobody was. And seeing me on a Zoom call crying, basically saying like, I know that I am not, you know, doing the best job here. And I really need you guys to show me where you need me to step up. And I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to be better for this. And I felt like, yeah, it just, it created a closeness that my coaches then felt safe to be like, here's where I would feel more supported. And yeah, I just think the vulnerability aspect of it.
But I think there's a level of respect versus fear.
Yeah.
And I think I've stepped into large teams or had to manage large teams. And I would step on their floors or go into the warehouses that I was managing. It'd be like, I could just hear the rumbling, right? And then the moment I would jump into a trailer and offload the trailer, you know, and so very similar to just showing that you're a human being, mm-hmm. one creates, and you're in the same struggle with them, creates an environment of unity.
Yeah.
So easily. Oh, she's in there fighting with us right now.
Yeah.
And so you're leading from within the pack or the center of the pack versus standing on a podium going, listen to me, do what I say.
Yeah.
That's growth for you. And I also think you had a lot of struggles from you being an employee.
Yeah.
We talked about that. It was like,
what do you always say about me as an employee?
You're a shitty employee. By the way, I told Jenny that too. I'm like, you can't talk to her like that, dude. You can't. She's been told her whole life that she's a shitty employee. And I agree. She's a shitty employee. But you're a great CEO. Let's go, right? And so most CEOs are. They don't like to be told what the fuck to do. Exactly. And so, it is, yeah, you're an amazing CEO. More importantly, that transition of you getting into being from the employee and then having to fire somebody, you're like, I didn't want to fucking fire that person. When you did it, how'd it go?
Well, I mean, it was tough. We both cried. But what is amazing is she has still the most, you never know what's going to happen after the call. Like, you guys will say on the call, like, I wish you the best or whatever. Yeah. I've had people say that on the call and then they block me. You know what I mean?
It's the nature of the.
But she actually genuinely wants best for Bliss Mode, still supports it, still follows me, still sends me nice texts. You know, it's just like, and that's kind of like, I knew she was that person, why it was so hard to let her go. But it just proves like exactly who I thought you were.
Other than learning how to be a leader and how to fire people, now that you're in your groove as the CEO of your business, give us a little insight of, I mean, you were just at the gym right now shooting content. But nobody really understands. You go walk into a brick and mortar and you see the owner fucking running around, his head cut off, doing all the things. Restaurants, you see it. Jeff running around at his events. Totally under control.
Totally under control.
Honestly, Bliss probably wouldn't know. She hasn't been to one of my races.
Ooh. I've never been invited.
Ooh.
I've never been invited to a race.
Wow.
I was waiting on a formal invitation.
You're waiting on a formal invitation.
I would like you, to be invited.
You it has to be written, dude.
If you want me to show up, invite me.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I would agree with that statement.
Wow.
Yeah.
She'll come to my house and hang out, but she won't come to the.
Well, your dogs. Bring your dogs to the race.
Well, okay, never mind. Forget it. You got it.
So if there was dogs at the event, dude, she'd be there in a fucking heartbeat, dude.
Bring your dogs.
Fair enough. Okay.
Give a little insight as to, like, I have no clue. I know what it takes to run a brick and mortar now because I'm in it.
Yeah.
Jeff knows what it takes to run an event and people see it because they go to his events. what does it take to run an online business? Like, what is it? Just a snapshot of the day to day.
Yeah. Well, it always looks different. I will say the consistent part is that content is being thought of, filmed, edited, and uploaded. That is for sure what's always happening. Outside of that, I mean, today looks different because we have a new program that's launching tomorrow. So I had to finish getting some stuff filmed from the app for the clients to have videos to watch. There's a lot of programming. That's the other consistent thing. Every 6 weeks, a new program is coming out for the home version and the gym version. So there's constantly programming happening from me because I do all the programming because every 6 weeks, two programs are launching. I'm constantly having those go, going through the app, seeing what we can improve. I also have clients that I work with. So sending them messages, doing their check-ins, and then just a lot of back-end stuff, putting out fires, I would say. My head coaches are incredible and do a lot of that. But when they're, sometimes it's always best for my face to appear. So I do a lot of that, which I actually really.
That's confrontation.
I know, but what's shocking is I really enjoy that because I feel like I'm really good at it. And so, it's so satisfying to take somebody who's pissed and maybe they want to quit or they want a refund or whatever. And I think because it's my baby and I'm so passionate about it and they initially signed up because they saw my face and whatever, I can come in and I can just like dissolve the situation and talk to them and they're like, right, I will stay or whatever it is. Oh, that makes sense. And so it's super satisfying to be like, sweet, like Sally is no longer pissed. She's staying. And yeah, like she has like confidence again in bliss mode. So I love that.
That was, you know? that's growth, by the way, because she confrontation, tail between the legs, gone.
There's still a lot of confrontation in your life. But that confrontation, I do like.
It's almost like a competition, and you're very competitive.
Yes.
I think I would take that. Yeah. So much confrontation, I'll tell the story about when we were at a taco shop in Chula Vista.
That's not even confrontation.
That's confrontation. That was total confrontation. It was. So I'm just going to give a two-minute explanation. And it's, we were at a taco
you're gonna
shop.
You're going to get me canceled, bro.
Huh?
You're going to get me canceled.
No. 2 minutes. And we were sitting there.
2 minutes till cancellation.
Cancellation. 2 minutes to cancellation. We're sitting there. We're eating tacos. And there was somebody looking at Suzette a funny way.
So he was drunk. Yes.
She was drunk. It was a girl. And she was like, yeah. And she was looking at somebody and our mutual friend. So she's girl shows up and she's looking at Suzette. We're all dressed in costumes, by the way. All of us, right? And she stands up and she's looking at Suzette funny. And then our mutual friend, Marcella, stands up and goes, what are you looking at?
She's scary.
And she is scary, Marcella's dude. Marcella's scary, dude. And she stands up. She goes, what the fuck are you looking at? She's like, what are you looking at? And it was like, all you see Bliss do is like leave. Yeah.
I just like sank in my chair. Yeah, I was like, she was oh like, my oh, gosh.
Dude, I think there's going to be fucking bullets flying. I'm out.
Yeah, dude. That's not the story I thought you were telling. Okay.
That's the story. I'm not talking about the other ones.
There's no cancellation there.
So, but this is the confrontation that she shied away from. Even other things, like even your like your one-on-ones at previous gyms that we used to work
with. Well, I was abused. That wasn't confrontation. I was being verbally and emotionally abused by that man.
Yeah.
Who we will not name.
You will not name him, yes. He's probably listening.
Abuser. Gosh, if I would have known about labor laws and sexual harassment laws and all of that, I would just be. I would be laying in a bath of cash right now.
With no hustle.
That man, let me tell you. But anyway, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay. I learned the boss I don't want to be.
That's the truth. That is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
Thank you for showing me what not to do.
I want to talk about content.
Oh my gosh.
I think some of my favorite content to watch is gym videos when people are. Joey Swole is one of my, love watching his content because he just.
Do you hear the controversy about him right now?
It's a little unfair.
That's a little
people
unfair.
People are being a little crazy.
But that's a little he's talking about stepping away from it now.
Well, he posted something online and said he's stepping away. But that's an unfair controversy thing.
I think he's just chilling out because he's under fire right now.
Yeah. He's to get back into that, like he's one of my favorites to watch because you see all these people that go to the global gyms and sit there and film like they're king shit of social media and like, oh, working out, and they rag on somebody who's just doing their own thing. Right. Yeah. So, and I know a lot of the content you shoot is private gyms and I don't really see you being at global gyms much doing that stuff, but talk about that a little bit, like just from somebody who shoots fitness content.
Yeah.
Do you have a take on some of those people that go into global gyms and are filming?
Yeah,
because it is the biggest thing. That's one of the big reasons I stopped. And this is before I went to OTH. Is I stopped going to LA Fitness because people were just setting up cameras everywhere.
Yeah,
it fucking pissed me off. And I was like, dude, I could give two shits about you doing a hammer curl with 40 pounds, like, or 30 pounds or whatever it is. Like, who gives a shit? So what's from somebody who has to film content as a profession?
Yeah,
right. Like, what's kind of some of your take on that kind of content, and what are maybe some of anybody who's listening that wants there needs to do better content? What would be some of your takes as far as like making sure the content is of quality?
Yeah, I feel like I feel so torn with the whole, I understand the problem and it really is person to person because I cringe when I have to film at like 24-hour fitness, but a lot of my equipment, like, have to use like the leg press and the leg extension machine, stuff that my clients are using. So I can't film it at Omar's gym or my garage.
Yeah.
I have to film it there.
Because you have a gym program.
Exactly. So I have to do all that. And I do cringe at myself filming it. And I just like keep my head down and try not to make eye contact. But when I see people filming, I actually am like, go off, make that money, make that content. I love it. Because I know that like it can be intimidating or whatever. I do agree though, there is a huge ego issue when it comes to the fitness world and people love them some them. And they just.
Well, I also think that a large percentage of people aren't doing it for business. They're doing it. They're actually doing it so they can catch somebody getting in their way.
Yeah, and
staring at them. All of a sudden, now they're doing it for the controversy, for the clickbait.
Yeah,
right. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah,
that's why I'm just like, you know what? If that's what you're into, fucking get the hell. I hope that you get kicked out.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't know how to go viral, so they're like, that's the only way that I'll grow my following or whatever. I don't know.
Controversial.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they're doing it for, which is unfortunate, you know. Yeah. But I think the same thing. I think like when I have to film at 24-hour and I know that people can see it, I'm like, you're trying to get lame content for like my 100 followers. And I want to be like, it's for an app.
It's for an app.
Fitness app.
I have an app.
You should just have a sign.
Official business.
Maybe you should just have a sign next to your phone when you're filming. That way people know that it's for, here's a QR code for my app. You go ahead and click on it. Maybe you're buying some business.
I'm sure 24-hour fitness would appreciate that.
I'm sure they would really appreciate that.
I always am, when I go in the locker room, chicks are always filming themselves or taking pictures of themselves and people get embarrassed and I'm like, go take it, queen. Love it. You look great.
Biggest, you are the biggest cheerleader when it comes to that.
I also don't like it when you see those photos and somebody's in the background trying to be respectful with that shit.
That's pretty bad.
Like if you're going to take a bathroom photo or video.
Somebody's feet are in the stall.
Yeah. Like I don't know. I just...
I look at that Photoshop stuff. It out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know there's some people just don't know how to do it right. Right. Yeah. They're not there to do it respectfully. They're there to just.
It's hard. You're in a public place, you know?
Well, and it's people aren't going to be respectful with it.
I think that just comes down to ego. I think a lot of people don't have humility.
Because I look
me,
slow.
Who doesn't want to look at me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at me, bitch. Look at me. Yeah. Look at me.
So filming content. If somebody's listening in and wants to be a little bit like, what's your ways to go about doing the content? I guess that's the thing. It's like, I see you always like teaching Omar how to.
Oh, 100.
On how to like, you need
any
this
advice.
You
for
need this
media.
Angle versus
I'm
this
going
angle.
To this person.
Right.
And to the point where Bliss now knows her strengths. She came over during the expansion. She probably picked up a few things and maybe turned a screwdriver once or twice, right? But then she stepped away, grabbed her phone, and she's like, I'm just going to start interviewing people. Like,
and I got you quality content that will live forever.
That way, 100%. But anyways, go ask.
I didn't see her filming Joe or myself trying to put that goddamn TV up.
I got some nice 13 feet up
in the air. 13
feet in the air.
It was on the ceiling. It was on the ceiling.
But Jeff looks so angry. I'm like, this isn't good for the brand.
This is not good. He looks so pissed. He looked at me. He was like, I'm fucking done after this.
End of the day, man. Like,
that's what he said to me. I was like, smile, Jeff. He's like, it's the end of the day.
It's the end of the day. I fucking quit.
I'm tired. End of the day. Joe
quit.
Wasn't helping out either. Much. Sorry, Joe.
Joe's good to look at, bro. That's about it. That's about it, bro. He's like, go with the flow, Joe, and he's really good to look at. That's about it.
The man's not here to defend himself.
I'm to defend my man.
Okay, so back to your question.
Back to my question.
What I would say is important and what made my content start to go off is pain points of when really that's what matters. The hook, getting your clients or getting people to watch it, you know, for that first 3 seconds, of like, what is this video? The hook is really important and pain point delivery. So you want whoever your clientele is, you want them to watch the video and go, oh my gosh, this is me.
Mm.
Me? You know, when I talk about like being insecure about my legs or always being in the gym but not getting the progress, my clients read that and they're like, oh, that's exactly how I feel. So they know, oh, this is a program for me.
Yeah, I think what some of the things you've taught me, who are you speaking to, is the biggest thing that I think I've learned from you. You and I have talked about OTH and my brand and we're like, and other brick and mortars in the area. And you're like, I'm not worried about that. The conversation that I have about me not worrying about other gyms that are nearby me comes from the support that Bliss has given me in regards to, I don't care about other gyms because they're not doing what I'm doing. That's not my client base. There's thousands of other people in our area that are my client base.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing that I think you do very well. You know who you were talking to.
Yes.
And then you also, obviously there has to be an image that you maintain. The other thing I think you do very well is you speak very genuine from a place of where you came from. Mm-hmm. You never forget that. So it's easy for people that are in your demographic to go, that is the program.
Yeah. And what's really cool, before I hit 100,000 followers, I was probably like 50, 60,000 followers. Mm-hmm. So it was like growing, but it was still smaller, is Linus saw the clients I was bringing in, the load, bringing in a lot of clients. And they were working with other coaches who had hundreds of thousands of followers, and they weren't bringing in the same. And what Jenny was telling me is they were assessing my Instagram and all of these other coaches' Instagrams, female coaches. Jenny was like, kind of realize like all these girls have like ass pictures. It's a bunch of just like of their ass everywhere. Even if they're doing a back day, it's somehow like, you know, their ass.
There's
the
focal point.
Shot.
Yeah.
So it's
bicep day.
When you're
the ass cheeks in there.
Right. So when you're making content like that, it's predominantly, I mean, you're going to have obviously women followers, but you're going to get a lot of male followers. Male followers aren't buying your fitness program.
Facts.
So they're like gaining followers. They have a lot of views, but it wasn't converting. Whereas when they saw mine, they're like zero, you know, ass on her page. Mm. It's converting like crazy. She has a quarter of the followers. So that's also, and my following, I would say, is 96% female, which is pretty great. So
that's what you're going for.
That's who I want, you know? Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
That's what I want.
Yeah. So. That's the biggest thing that I think anybody that's taken away, and I don't do any, you know me, I fucking hate social media. And you and I have had this conversation of like, it's not my cup of tea. That's why I could never go online. But it's
you
just
have to
not.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not my, it's not my strength, right? It's just not my strength. And it's Bliss's strength. But all in all, I think you do a phenomenal job from that. And if anybody's listening, it's reps and sets to your point. It's doing the things that makes you uncomfortable. It's knowing who your avatar client is. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing I think that they can do. It's like, who are we talking to here? You know, and it's like for me, we talked about marketing, just paid marketing, right? Or advertisements and stuff like that. And when I got on a call with an advertising company and they're like, who's your avatar? I was able to speak to it immediately.
Yeah. You should be able to like name who's your client, where do they work, how old are they?
Yep. Oh, what's their age? What's their demographic? What's their salary ranges? Salary. All that stuff. Mm. All that stuff. You should know who the hell you're talking to. Because if you don't know and you're talking into the camera,
everyone,
to everybody, you're not for everybody. Yeah. You got to figure out what you're good at and stick to that. People will always see who you truly are if they stick around long enough. That's what I've always said about you. Even when you were getting bashed by certain people in the gym and when you were being bashed in those one-on-one meetings, like they couldn't sit back and look at who you were as a person and see the true value that you bring to the table. But if your team that you created this vulnerability with and this open door policy with, if you go back and turn that around to them, I promise you, I almost guarantee you that they're going to come back and say, we stick around because of this. You are in an amazing position to be able to bless several people. I don't see you doing anything else other than supporting women like you have been. I wanted to thank you for coming on. This is a lot better.
Do you feel vindicated?
I feel vindicated, bro.
Okay.
I feel totally fucking vindicated right now.
Now you can tell people to listen to this
episode. This yeah. episode. This of is Bliss the episode. The if you want to know about Bliss, this is the one.
Okay. Yes.
But
listen to the first one first. See the difference.
Yeah,
in the
they can appreciate yeah. this episode.
Then they can appreciate yeah. this episode this a little is, bit more.
No, they're going to fucking put a highlight reel, a blooper reel or some shit like that.
Oh, well, maybe I've already started
that. I need to re-listen to it.
Huh?
I need to re-listen
Please
to
don't.
It.
I wish that we could, like, you know what they say, don't take certain pictures that you don't want on social media or put them out on social media.
Anyway, you're vindicated. That's Thank great. You, sir. Wonderful. We got to learn a little bit more about Bliss.
And her brand.
Period.
And her period.
And her period.
On that note, Bliss, thank you very much. We're out.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.